Morning, church. It is great to be together, to share this time on another Sunday morning with everyone. I'm excited to be here again to get into God's word with us this morning. This morning we're gonna look at an amazing parable called the Parable of the Unmerciful Servant in Matthew chapter 18. Before we get into God's word, let us go before God, our Father in heaven, in prayer. Our great almighty God, we come before you thankful for your love, your mercy, your grace, your peace, your many, many blessings. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the fellowship. We thank you so much for our lives, waking us up this morning, allowing us to be here to worship, to be here to hear your word, God, and to have our lives impacted, Father. I thank you so much for allowing me to have seen your word, Father, to have allowed it to change my own life, God. And I pray that as I peer into your word today and you guide me through your word, God, that we are all inspired and encouraged to put into practice the many important lessons you have in store for us. God, be with us. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. It's an amazing passage of scripture that I believe so clearly expresses God's heart and sharply directs us on the path we are to follow when it comes to forgiveness. And in Matthew chapter 18, I'm reading from verses 21 to 35. The top caption says, "The parable of the unmerciful servant." It says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell at his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I'll pay it back to you.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called in the servant. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." An intense passage of scripture. You know, this parable is found in Jesus's teaching just between where he was dealing with sin in the church in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. And it comes just before the topic of divorce and remarriage in Matthew chapter 20 in those first few verses. And I believe, you know, both of these require and involve forgiveness. So it's well seated in the Gospel of Matthew. You know, Peter asked Jesus how many times he must forgive his brother when he sins against him. What a good question. You know, Jesus' answer is directed to Peter and the rest of the disciples who believe in him. And therefore, I believe that this parable is directed to them and is helpful for us even today in our lives. You know, Jesus' answer, some suggest, is a finite numerical amount of 490, if you will. Some people say it's an infinite number and it's just represented by a numerical value. But whatever you whichever way you gravitate to, I believe that there are so many lessons that we can learn from this parable. But we'd only look at a few of them today. You know, Peter's question concerning this matter in Matthew chapter 18. And in verse 21, Peter says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? You know, Peter asks Jesus, will it suffice if I just forgive them seven times? You know, firstly, you know, Peter takes something for granted here. He takes for granted the fact that he must forgive. And I believe that Jesus had taught Peter and the other disciples this lesson in Matthew chapter 6. So at this point in time, Peter was fully appreciative of the fact that he had to forgive others. In Matthew 6 and verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And I believe that Peter had gotten and fully understood what Jesus was teaching. So Peter knows that he must not only not bear a grudge against his brother, he knows that he must not meditate on revenge, but be as good a friend as ever and forget any injury or any offense that may have been meted out to him the way Jesus expected. You know, Peter knew and accepted that forgiveness had to happen. It was not an option. You know, he embraced that he had to forgive. You know, when we think about forgiveness in our own lives, have we embraced the fact that forgiveness is not an option? Do you believe it as an option in your life today? You know, for many, this passage can be read and we read it and we hear it and we understand it and we believe it, but it's not lived or demonstrated in our lives because, you know, many times we still don't forgive people. We hold on to things. We avoid people sometimes. We stop communicating with them when they upset us or when they sin against us. And we say we've forgiven them, but have we really? You know, a question we got to ask ourselves is, you know, do we forgive like Jesus? Do we say, I forgive you, and then walk away toting feelings and having no desire to interact with that person anymore? You know, sometimes we do that. We say we forgive, but, you know, in the back of our mind, why don't that person, you know, I don't want to see them. I'm going to avoid them at all costs. They hurt me, I forgive them, you know, but I don't want to see them, right? You know, did Jesus say, I forgive you to us? And leave us on our own way and on our own journey to wherever we were going. You know, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus pursued us. Jesus loved us. He sought us out and sought to have the most intimate of relationship with us. Jesus sought to have a lifelong walk with us with eternal camaraderie and friendship. And he wants daily communication with us. And he gives us daily protection. You know, that's how Jesus treated us when he forgave us. When you look at your forgiveness today, is it characterized by such qualities in the relationships where forgiveness has been given or was required? Or do we want to forgive and forget about that person? Which is a temptation that we may have because, you know, hurt brings that desire sometimes to withdraw and to separate. But with Jesus, forgiveness is reconciliation, a coming together, a continued relationship. Is that what we embrace when there's forgiveness? You know, Peter was clear that forgiveness was not optional. But his hang-up and his problem was how many times? Are you with me right here? And I believe this could be the challenge for many of us once we get past that first hurdle of, yes, we're supposed to forgive. We start to ask ourselves the question, well, how many times are we supposed to forgive? Up to seven times? Is that good enough? That good so? You know, we in Trinidad, we like to say, boy, that good so, boy. We do something halfway, we say, that good, that good, that good. We may want to say that when it comes to forgiveness. Which brings us to the second point. Forgiveness without limits. You know, Peter, perhaps when he asked that question, thinks that it's a great matter to to forgive till seven times. He thinks probably seven is a big number. And when he says seven, you know, Peter's probably thinking seven times in his lifetime. But Jesus in Luke chapter 17 actually speaks of a forgiveness and mentions the number seven, but Jesus speaks to it on a daily basis. Let's look at this. Luke chapter 17 verses 1-4. The Bible says, Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. You know, Jesus suggests seven times in a day here, but Peter probably had in his mind seven times in his lifetime. Sometimes in his lifetime. You know, Peter was supposing perhaps, you know, that if a man had in any way been abused by him seven times, though he were, you know, ever so desirous to be reconciled, he might, by the time he reached number seven, then abandon that person and say, you know what, boy, forgiveness run out for you, you know. You do me this seven times, I don't want nothing to do with you again, Papa. Seven times is enough. Are you with me right here? Or perhaps Peter had an eye on Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16, which I'll share now. In Proverbs 24 verse 16, it says, do not lurk like a thief near the house of the righteous. Don't plunder their dwelling place. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. This passage perhaps suggesting, Peter may have suggested to himself, after seven times, you know, God understands that I have to rise up. When I'm struck down seven times with somebody hurting me, you know, maybe after that seven times, it's time for me to rise up. After all, how much can a man take, right? Or perhaps if he was guided by the Old Testament where God would endure the Moabite sins, for instance, like in Amos chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 1 in Amos chapter 2, this is what the Lord says, for three sins of Moab, even for four, I will not relent. He says, you know, I will not abandon you. If you sin against me three, even four times, I would not abandon the Moabites. You know, sometimes as human beings, we are prone in our corrupt nature to only want to provide a stint of what is good. Are you with me right here? You know, sometimes we just want to give an ungenerous, inadequate amount of goodness and to be afraid of doing too much in religion, particularly when it comes to forgiveness. We don't want to be forgiven too much. Although we have been forgiven so much in our lives, we don't want to forgive too much because, you know, we tend to feel, you know, if we go on forgiving, people take advantage of us and we need to protect ourselves. You know, Jesus's direct answer to Peter's question, he says, you know, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Some versions say 70 times seven times. Are you with me right here? That's a big number, any way you slice it. You know, could you imagine someone sinning against you 490 times? You know, it doesn't look well if you decide to start counting how many times you actually forgive somebody. That's not the practice, right? That's not what you should be doing. And there's something of ill nature if you're scoring up the injuries that we forgive. As if, you know, if it reach a certain amount, we're gonna decide, you know what, boy, at this point here is avengement. We're gonna deal with this a different way because I've really forgiven you enough. You know, God multiplies his pardons. And so should we. Imagine someone doing this to you. In this passage that I'm going to read here, in Psalm chapter 78, verses 36 to 39, the Bible says, but then they would flatter him with their mouths, lying to him with their tongues. Their hearts were not loyal to him. Imagine someone doing this to you. They were unfaithful to his covenant. Yet he was merciful. He forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them. Time after time, he restrained his anger and did not stir up his full wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a passing breeze that does not return. You know, we have to engage our brothers and sisters in the same. We've got to remember that we're all a passing breeze, that we are all but flesh. And we've got to restrain our anger. We've got to imitate our God in this regard. You know, this is how our God is patient and forgiving toward us. If we follow his example, the scripture suggests that we should make it our constant practice to forgive. And we should accustom ourselves, if you will, to it until it becomes habitual in our lives. And now you're probably saying, no, boy, Roger, boy, that ain't no easy thing to do, you know. You don't know the kind of Creole I had to deal with every day and the kind of things you would be doing to me, right? And the thing is, sometimes they're doing it over and over and over and over and over again. And I feel like they don't deserve to be forgiven. I know sometimes you can feel like that. You know, what helps me is Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus teaches what is the Lord's Prayer. And you should be familiar with it. I'll just share one part of it that really impacts me. It says, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now camp on right in that spot a little while. And this is the way I take it. As we forgive those who trespass against us, as we forgive those who trespass against us, God, you forgive us the same way we forgive everyone else. Think about that. Now, I ask you honestly, do you want God to forgive you the same way you forgive everyone else? I'll run that by you again. Do you want God to forgive you the same way you forgive people? Excuse me? I don't know that you want God to forgive you the same way that you forgive everyone else, unless you're in a position of automatic and immediate forgiveness. Are you with me right here? You know, we want forgiveness without limits for ourselves, don't we? Don't you? How will you forgive them? How does Jesus expect us to forgive? You know, Jesus gives a great illustration in Matthew 18, 23 to 35, which we're going to jump into now. He's going to remind you of the context of what happened. It says in verse 23, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man owed him 10,000 bags of gold. You know, and since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. And the story goes on. In verse 29, his fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. This is the unmerciful servant now treating with his fellow servant. And down to the end, in verse 35, it tells about just what happened when the master met with the unmerciful servant for the second time after he took advantage of his fellow servant. And it says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. You know, three scenarios. In the first instance, the king was dealing with his own servant. And the king was owed an amount of money so large that the servant could never repay it. And the Bible tells us it was about 10,000 talents. And, you know, that equates to about 1.8 million pounds sterling, which is about $18 million. Trinidad dollars. It's plenty money. Even a lotto, you can't save you with that. I ain't encouraging people to go and play lotto neither. Just making a statement. Right? You know, the servant admitted that he had this debt. And he begged for mercy. And the response by his master was compassionate. And he released the servant from his debt. You know, in the second scenario, the unforgiving servant then went to his fellow servants, one of his peers, who owed him a small amount of money. And this servant grabs his fellow servant and chokes him and displays no mercy, no compassion. And the indebted servant was begging for mercy. And what was the response of the unforgiving servant? He refused to release the debt and demanded payment. And ironically, what he did is put his fellow servant in a situation where he would never be able to repay. I want you to remember that. He put him in a situation where he would not be in a position to repay. Are you with me right here? And the third scenario was after everything happened, the other servants went to complain to the master about what the unmerciful servant was doing. And then the king called him in and told him, you know, I was merciful to you. You were ungrateful. And then he put him away to be tortured until he could repay. And that's a lesson for us there. But I want us to consider a few things. As we consider the unforgiving servant and his fellow servant, for my third point, I want us to embrace that we can't refuse to release the debt. Point number three, don't refuse to release the debt. You know, I believe this is one of the biggest problems that we have, releasing. You know, the unmerciful servant refused to release the debt, and additionally, he put the man in a situation where he would not be able to repay. He held on to it. And he put himself in a position to remain in that state where he was just holding on to anger, holding on to that debt. And I believe that, you know, we as human beings, even as disciples, we can do these things. We hold on to grudges sometimes. We tote feelings as we have in our local parlance. We tote in feelings. We evacuate the situation. Somebody hurt us and we disappear. And we don't want to see that person again. We ostracize, we push somebody in a corner. We remove the very infrastructure for forgiveness. We break the bonds and the communications and the possible ties that could bring reconciliation. We remove people from our sight. Yeah, I remember growing up when I was in secondary school. There's this girl, her name was Avril. And I can't even remember what the situation was, what Avril do me, but I remember definitively the words that I said to her one day in the back of the a bus when you know the whole thing bust up, and I said to Avril, I say, Avril, when you see me, pass me straight. You see that side of the road there? That side of the road is your side of the road. This side of the road is my side of the road. So when I come in on this side, you make sure you go on that side, right? And I mean, Those words resonate and pain me to this day. You know, unfortunately, I haven't seen Avril since that time. I may have been in second or third form. You know, maybe Steve might remember what I'm talking about here. But, I mean, I can't even remember what Avril did. You understand what I'm saying? And I just wanted to separate myself from her because of the hurt that I was feeling. You know, we walk away from issues and hurt and choose not to talk about it. And think our silence and our avoidance somehow would equate to forgiveness. And we may find ourselves stuck with unresolved conflict. And the separation we create helps us to dress it up, to make it look like forgiveness. But in fact, we're not. Because we're toting something deep in our hearts. We can equate separation and distance to forgiveness, but it is not. Are you toting some feelings today? Are you holding some grudge? You know, that thing that you can't physically see, but it's hidden in your heart. It's something of substance, something you have a tendency to hang on to, something you're hugging it up and all. You know, it's a resistance. It's a reluctance. It's a rebellion. It's a resentment. You know, you should forgive and forget, but you don't. And you won't. Why? Because it's easy to hold on to a grudge. You know, in some circles, you know, some people think it's normal to hold on to a grudge. You know, one writer says about people releasing grudges, people say, no, I can't and I won't. I could, but I just don't want to. Imagine that. You know, do you know why people don't want to stop toting feelings? Some people won't stop toting feelings because they would probably run out of things to say. Believe it or not, right? You know, we want to bad talk people sometimes. And if you stop toting feelings, you might actually have to say something nice. You know? You tell yourself, I mean, I can't be obnoxious anymore. I can't be telling other people about what bugging me about somebody else. You know, they feel they lose part of their lives if they set these things aside and they reconcile. You know, they say to themselves, what would I do with my time? Who would I call? I can't imagine picking up the phone and calling somebody and saying, hey, how you doing? That can't be good. Some people feel that they have to talk feelings. You know, thoughts and feelings can become a critical part of our lives if we're not careful. We all have sinful problems, and many times our sin is just something that seems to get stuck. Even if you want to get rid of thoughts and your feelings, we feel stuck and we can't free ourselves. But you can get rid of those feelings. You can get rid of that hurt. But you have to be ready and decide to drop it. Can you drop it? You got to ask yourself that question. If you're toting feelings and holding grudges, drop it before it does any more damage in your life. And times of refreshing and even better health will come your way. You know, one article says, you know, something happens on the inside when we forgive others and let go of negative emotions. A gentleman by the name of Everett Worthington, a psychology professor at Virginia Commonwealth University, who has researched the act of forgiveness, says forgiveness is an amazing thing. The act of forgiveness has health benefits. Are you with me right here? It's a healthy choice. Not just peace of mind. Forgiveness produces significant health benefits. You know, unforgiveness is going to raise your blood pressure. Are you with me here? It's going to give you hypertension. Tension because you're holding on, toting too many feelings. You know, holding a grudge will deplete your immune system function. COVID going on. We don't want to be toting feelings and lowering the immune system right now. So forgive people. Deal with it. It's going to make you more easily depressed if you hold on to things. And it can cause an enormous amount of stress on your entire body. And some people think, you know, if I drink some protein drinks and I drink some Monster and I drink some kind of special juice, then they go make my body strong. Some people want to go and get a massage. They go make the body feel good. What I'm saying is, if you actually let go of some of the things that you might be feeling, some of them feelings that you're toting, that might very well be all the healing that you need. Time to let go. Time to release the debt. Stop toting the feelings. You know, another thing that stands out to me about the unmerciful servant is that he seems to know how to act when he has to deal with the king. He knows how to act lowly to the highly. But when he's a highly to someone who seems lowly or he makes lowly, there is no mercy, no compassion, no understanding, and no patience. Right? So we want mercy from the boss, so we know we cannot suck up to the boss and make sure the boss think we the best thing ever. And we like to lime in circles with people who are, you know, highly and everything else. But how do we treat the people that we put in our minds and say, well, no, those people are lowly? Are we, you know, acting highly with the highly, but treating, you know, people that we want to put in a lowly position differently, where there's no room for mercy, no room for compassion, no room for understanding? Are you with me right here? You know, my fourth and final point is to forgive. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. You know, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 puts it amazing. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." We've got to be mindful, people, that we don't look down on others, especially to the point where we're not willing to forgive them. And I borrow a parable to make this last point, because no one makes a point better than the Lord himself. In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, the Bible says in verse 9, it says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable." I'll read that first part again. "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable." It says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not look up to the heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And verse 14 just makes it so clear to us where we need to sit. He says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, I pray that we embrace forgiveness today. I pray that your hearts have been encouraged as we embrace God's teaching. I pray that as we remember those points that I've made today, that we arm ourselves, we prepare our hearts to forgive and never be unmerciful in our relationships. That we would, one, appreciate that unforgiveness is not an option. That we will, you know, secondly, ensure that we embrace forgiveness without limits. And we will, thirdly, not refuse to release the debt. And finally, embrace the fact that to forgive, we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. And I pray that this has inspired you today. I pray that God's mercy rests heavily on you and that you are motivated and driven to extend that mercy to others. And I pray that we will reconcile and walk as Jesus did in our relationships when we forgive each other. And we will bond closer after forgiveness and not separate. That we will completely forgive with all our hearts. To the glory of God. God bless you all. Amen.